No place I'd rather be. The song they sang, awesome job. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Amen? That song says, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. And here's the line I like, and that I can't control. You know, that was one of the songs that they did at youth camp this year. And you know, so was such a part of our youth camp. But so spoke to my heart this year and spoke to me. You know, Dan Kiesler ministered one night and he talked about, you know, our concepts and you know, our forms and things like that. And he said, our encounter with God must be so much greater than our concept of God. It has to be a personal relationship. It has to be a personal encounter. It has to be a matter of love and relationship and the power of God. And if it's all about the word we know or our great revelation or, you know, big understandings of the word or whatever, all of those things are great. But, you know, we can have a great understanding of the word and not have a personal relationship or an encounter with the very presence of God and still miss the greatest part of what God wants to do for us. Amen. And so my desire has been, Lord, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, but more importantly, that I can't control. That it's just your presence, it's your fire, it's your life inside of me that's working and moving and touching and speaking and strengthening. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't even want to stand behind the pulpit to speak if there's not something that God's doing inside of me. Amen? Because it has to come from the inside out. And I say all the time that the scripture says, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. Do you know this morning that there is a river of life inside of you? That there is a river of life inside of you. I heard Joseph Prince minister one morning this week, and he was talking about the power of the Holy Ghost and the presence of God in our life. And he said, I forget who the woman was, maybe it was a mom, but he said, you know, she would just go around the kitchen baking a cake, and she would just be speaking in tongues. And then she would be doing the dishes, and she would just be speaking in tongues, and she would just be interceding, she'd just be praying. And he said, not knowing why, or not even knowing what God might be saying or speaking, but just feeling the presence and the unction of the Holy Spirit in everyday life. How many believe you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in everyday life? Hallelujah. God's just as powerful at Food Lion as he is here right now. Amen. God's just as powerful on your job, in your cubicle, or behind your machine, or wherever it is you are, that the power of God is an ever-present, ever-dwelling. You know, it's great and it's powerful to come together, and I believe we draw strength from the body. I believe we draw from the anointings of others in the house and all of those things. But when we leave here, the power of God is just as strong in you as it is in me or anybody else in this house. And so she's just going through the house and she's doing all these things. And she said, unknowing, but about the time her little boy who was out at school was about to step off the curb into traffic and possibly be hit by a car. But mom's back home saying, Kuranda Mukusika Talamohandai. Rima Mamahandai Shika Talamohandai. Kuranda Mukusika Talamohandai. And he said, you know, the scripture says that the Spirit makes intercession for us of groanings that we can't understand or we don't always know. So when you don't know what else to pray, just pray in the Spirit. Amen. Just be in the Spirit. Lord, I don't know what you're doing right now. I don't know what you're moving. But I've been in places before and instances. There was one time Dan and I was driving. We were going away for the weekend. We were driving. And I said to him, I said, honey, I don't know what it is, but I have this overwhelming presence of the Spirit. I don't know if there's something going on. I said, just drive careful. Be aware. I don't know if it's God warning us about traffic. I don't know if it's God doing something back home. And so we just began to pray in the Spirit together and just begin to pray. And after a little bit, I felt it release. I still have no idea what it was, but I'm learning that when I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit, to just take the time to say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're speaking, but I'm trusting you right now. Hallelujah. We have in this earthen vessel the power and the deposit of God that lives and resides and moves inside of us. It's not spooky, weird. It may be strange to some, and I understand if you don't understand all of it, sometimes it may be a little bit strange. It's not spooky and it's not weird. It's just the divine presence of the Holy Spirit that lives and moves and dwells within inside of your heart. Hallelujah. See, I'm a firm believer. I worked with a lady one time. She said, I don't know how to pray. She said, I just talk to God, but I don't know what you're supposed to do when you pray. How do you pray? And I said, well, if you're talking to God, you are praying. It's really just that simple. You don't need all the these and thous. You can be going down the road. And sometimes him and I have the most frank conversations. I'll just be saying, Lord, I just need to talk to you right now. I need to just, you know, I just need to share my heart. I don't know the answer, and I may not even hear the answer, but just telling you will make me feel better. So if I can just talk out loud to you for a little bit. How many know sometimes you just got to talk out loud to him sometimes? Get out in the woods behind a tree, Henry, or get behind the car or behind the dish sink. Or sometimes you just got to say, God, I got to talk to you out loud right now. I just got to bare my heart. I just got to share my soul. I just got to tell you what's happening in me right now. I may need something, and sometimes I don't even need anything. I just want to hear it, feel his presence. I just want to hear his voice. I just want to be in the presence of God and say, God, I just want to give you thanks. I just want to give you glory. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm frustrated. And you know what? I'll say, God, I'm frustrated. I need help. I need you to help me to understand. I need healing, or I need your touch. Amen. People say to me all the time when they're struggling, this is one of the most popular things that people say to me, I know you're not supposed to question God. And I don't really know where that comes from. I ask my dad all kinds of questions, because if I don't ask... The scripture said, if you have not because you ask not. Ask. The scripture says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. The scripture tells us to ask. You may not always get the answer you need. You may not always get clarity in a situation. But I'm going to tell you this morning, it's all right to ask. It's all right just to have frank conversations with God and say, Lord, I just need to talk to you frankly today, one-on-one. Hallelujah. But you know what? What we need to do is not just always just ask. Sometimes we need to be quiet enough to hear. Amen. See, that's where I'm working on myself. I can talk a big talk. I can talk a lot. And I find sometimes the more stressed I am, the more I talk. And I'll hear myself thinking, Lisa, whew, take a breath, slow down. I'll hear my, you know, sometimes, I mean, sometimes it's not so much our lack of asking, it is our lack of listening and hearing his voice. And so I'm thankful for God, for his presence, that are wherever we go, whatever we do, his presence are real and alive in us. And so if you don't know what else to do, sometimes you just got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because even if nothing changes, you're going to feel better about it. I mean, sometimes I prayed and the situation didn't change, but I felt better about it. My heart changed, or my attitude about it changed. Or peace came in a situation that I didn't have any peace. Hallelujah. How many are thankful today for peace, that the peace of God can rule your heart? And so we've been talking, you know, out of the book of Leviticus chapter 21. And you can go ahead and put that up for me, Jim, if you can find it there. Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 17. And it's a portion of scripture. We laugh all the time at youth camp and you know, said that, you know, lights are out at midnight for the kids. And if all else fails, read them a bedtime story out of the book of Leviticus. Because the book of Leviticus can be some heavy-duty reading. Amen. It's got, you know, all the rules and all the regulations and all the commandments that God gave and all the begats and all the things you could do and you couldn't do and all the stuff that's in there. And man, you can start reading the book of Revelations, and if you're having trouble sleeping at night, you may just want to get out the book of Leviticus. And I don't mean that disrespectful at all. But how many know sometimes because we don't understand the book of Revelations book of Leviticus in view of the New Testament or the work of the cross, sometimes we don't understand what we're reading. But I really felt like the Lord spoke something to me out of book of Leviticus 21 and 17. And this is where basically everyone who has a blemish or has a handicap or has a shortcoming is limited from being in the priesthood and cannot enter into the holy place or the Holy of Holies. Now, let me just go back and real briefly, it would take me a long time to explain everything about the tabernacle of Moses, but how many know in the Old Testament, when you came, you had to bring an animal sacrifice, and you brought it to the very outer court, and the priest would sacrifice your animal there on the altar, And then he would cleanse himself in the brazen laver. But that was as far as you could go in the Old Testament. Do we understand that? But if you were a priest or a high priest, you had access to the holy place. And then the high priest had access to the most holy place. Amen? And in the most holy place, there was a mercy seat. There was the Ark of the Covenant, not the Ark of Noah. Two different things. They didn't carry the Ark of Noah through the wilderness. They carried the Ark of the Covenant. And in there was the Ark of the Covenant with a mercy seat. And every year the high priest would go in and offer a sacrifice, and they would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on that mercy seat, and God would come down and they would have fellowship and their sins would be forgiven. Amen? And so the only ones who had access to that most holy place where the very presence of God was the high priest. How many are glad today that we have access to the very presence of God, not through a high priest, not through veils that are curtains or you know, veils that are hung? How many know the scripture said when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Hallelujah. How many know when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that veil who had kept everyone out for hundreds and hundreds of years, all of a sudden is rent from the top to the bottom, and all of a sudden mercy is now exposed and available to everyone. Hallelujah. That ought to make you want to shout today, because mercy is now available to everyone. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us that the veil of his flesh was rent. The veil of his flesh being rent, we now have access to the Father, and we can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy. Now, I don't think we have any clue how blessed we are today. Because in the Old Testament, if you'd have come in, you couldn't have come in to where the presence of God was. You'd have had to stand out there and wait for your absolution. Amen? Yeah. But we now have access through the veil of his flesh that was rent on the cross of Calvary, that we can come boldly into his presence and receive grace and mercy. Anybody in here ever had a blemish? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. Hallelujah. I mean, Leviticus talks about having blemishes. If you had blemishes, if you had a flaw, if you had a handicap, as it were, if you had a disability, if you had something wrong about you, you were excluded from ever being able to be in the priesthood and entering into the holy place or the most holy place. Real quickly, speak unto Aaron, saying, "Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God." Verse 18. We have it there. We have second string on the computer back there today. Thanks, Jim. "For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach." So if you got a blemish, you cannot approach. Now it's going to tell you all your blemishes here. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous. I guess I'm saying that right. Or a man that is broken footed or broken handed. Anybody ever had a broken bone? Lexi's out. Lexi's out. Beth's out. Or a crook back, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. "No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God." He was limited from entering into the presence of God. What? Because of his flaws or his blemishes. Hallelujah. Now, we already took a poll and said, anybody in here have blemishes? Some of you were honest. Some of you are still working on that. But anyway, hallelujah. How many know all of us probably have, the scripture said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to tell you is, for a lot of my life, I lived still believing that I was under a Levitical priesthood. And that my access to God was limited by my disabilities. by my brokenness, by my blemishes, by my sin, by my spots. Am I in the room by myself today? That I believed that, as it were, that God loved me on Sunday, but by Wednesday, if I had messed up, I wasn't sure where I stood, so that by next Sunday when I came back in, I had to repent all over again because I felt like I had been blemished or sinned or made a mistake or... Amen. Anybody with me there today? Hallelujah. And so what I felt like then, my prayers were hindered. My ability to reach out or to feel God's presence were hindered by my own spots, flaws, or disabilities. And so what we do sometimes, you know, I've prayed for people before, and they would say this to me, I know God can heal, I just don't know if he'll heal me. I don't know that I am worthy to be healed. I know I got things in my life, and I just don't know that I'm worthy to receive his healing. Now, let me tell you, in the New Testament, Jesus comes along, and what I saw in this is when Jesus comes along into the New Testament, he systematically goes back to those in that area at the time who have these disabilities or these blemishes, and he systematically goes along and heals their diseases. Go ahead and bring up for me Luke 4, I believe it is, Jim. Luke 4. I can flip over there real quick too. So he systematically goes along, and Jesus begins and he begins his ministry. And when he begins his ministry, to me it looks like that he systematically goes along to find all of those that the Levitical priesthood had disqualified, and he begins to qualify all of those who would have not been accepted in that day. Can I tell you this morning that you do not have Levi genes? You are not of the tribe of Levi. You are not under the Levitical system. You have been regenerated. You have new life. You have new genes. You have designer genes designed after the image of the Heavenly Father. How many are glad you're wearing designer jeans today? You're not under Levi jeans. Hallelujah. So we have been regenerated. We have been made new. How many know by the blood of Jesus, I no longer am the person that I used to be. I'm not that same old person. I have been regenerated. I have been born again. Amen. And when I was born again, I was not born of Levitical priesthood under the old order or the Old Testament, but I have been born under a new covenant and under a new way. Hallelujah. How many know the old covenant, the Old Testament, was all about making the old man behave? Hallelujah. The new covenant is all about the new man being regenerated. Hallelujah. So Jesus comes along, and in his ministry, he gets up and says something very profound. Very first thing he does after the he's baptized. He goes in the wilderness to be tempted. He comes out of the wilderness. He's ready to start his new ministry, his calling. And the first place he goes is to the synagogue. Start at, I'll need verse 18 up there, but I'll back up just a little bit. And he came to Nazareth, which is his own hometown, where he had been brought up. Everybody say, where he had been brought up. Home folk. In his own town. How many know that's sometimes the toughest place to start a ministry? Is in your own hometown. Because people know your background. People know where you've been, know where you've come from. Know, you know, it can be a good thing, a bad thing. Let me know, when my dad and my mom went into the ministry, there was a lot of eyes and a lot of talk. Can anything good come out of Berkeley Springs? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Was the comment that Philip made when they said, we found the Messiah. He's like, seriously? The Messiah came out of Nazareth? Really, seriously, can anything good come off a rotten row or out of Berkeley Springs? I mean, no, people would say about my dad, I know his background. I mean, my dad had some history. he adds some background. And so it took him a little while to establish. He said, you know, people would see him doing things differently, and they'd say, what are you doing? He said, well, I changed my ways or whatever. He said, finally, the Lord dealt with me and said, tell him you got saved. Just tell him you got saved. You know, we say, well, I got religion, or we say, well, I'm changing my ways. Just tell him I've been born again. Just tell him I got saved. And he said, the Lord really dealt with him to say, I got saved. But how many know it was a little bit of plowing through some time, but it came back around the folks that I used to know him. And if he has changed, there must be something to this thing called salvation. There must be something to the power of God. There must be something to being born again, because that person is not the same person that they used to be. So he goes back to his hometown. He preaches his first sermon among his kinfolks and those that love him. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now remember, Leviticus just disqualified everybody pretty much that's on that list from entering into the presence or the most holy place of God. Jesus comes along. He asks for the scrolls. He opens up the book of Isaiah and he begins to read one of the, and this is, he's preaching the words of Isaiah. I mean, they know the book of Isaiah. They read the scrolls in the synagogue. This is not a new sermon. But Jesus stands up to preach it. It says, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And if he'd have just stopped at the end of that scripture, he'd have been okay. But he says, verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elijah sent unto, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with excitement, joy, the Holy Ghost, filled with wrath, or my Bible says very indignant, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So Jesus comes along. Book of Leviticus tells us everybody who's disqualified. Jesus comes along and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to release the captives, to preach to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them or the bruised, to preach the acceptable day of the Lord, acceptable year of the Lord. How many know the acceptable day or acceptable year of the Lord is the day of Jubilee? It's the day when everybody who's been enslaved is set free from their bondage or from their slavery. Hallelujah. So, I mean, Jesus comes along to preach this great sermon, and to us it sounds like powerful. Man, this is good news. This is the day. I mean, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They could not see or understand or perceive the power of God or him who was that had been sent and what God was about to do. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we think it's a great thing when God comes along and begins to do the miraculous. It's all a great thing. Unless he doesn't do it the way we think he should. Amen. unless he doesn't do it the way we think he should. So Jesus begins to preach his message and begin his sermon by saying, I've come to set free some things. I've come to set some things right. I've come to release some of those who have been in bondage, who are hurting, who are sick and in need. So we've talked about a lot of the different ones that Jesus came along to set free. Now what you got to understand is they were forbidden from going into the holy place or the most holy place. So not only does Jesus come along to heal them of their afflictions or of their diseases or of their blemishes, but how many know the mercy seat is in their midst? Yep. Hallelujah. He's not just their high priest. He's not just their healer, but he is the very mercy seat, the very propitiation of God, the access that we have into God's presence we have through the veil of the flesh of Jesus Christ. Amen? So not only do they now have rights or access to the presence of God, the very presence of God is among them. The very walking, moving mercy seat, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, is now working and moving and walking among them. Hallelujah. Which they don't know yet. I want to go over to today, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, if you want to bring that up, Jim. Without going back and recovering everything, Jesus comes along and he gives the parable of the great supper. How many know he had invited all those without blemishes already? And they didn't come. And then he goes on to invite all of those who go out into the highways and byways, compel them. Go gather up the lame, the halt, the blind, the suffering, and invite them to come in that my house may be full. How many know you got a great invitation? You got a great invitation. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2. It's in two different scriptures. I want to go back to Luke in just a minute, but I'm going to read Mark chapter 2. And I heard Jenny share this a little bit this morning in her testimony and her prayer there. And so, she can feel free to jump right in there and help me preach if she needs to. Hallelujah. It says, and again he entered in Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. How many know he was in the house? And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason these things in your heart? Whether is it easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion, or in this fashion. Luke 5:39 in that verse says, Luke 5 and 26 says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. I like that. We have seen strange things today. How many are ready to see some strange things? I didn't say how many of you have seen strange things. I said, how many of you want to see some strange things? I've seen some strange things in my time. Hallelujah. How many know healing and restoration, forgiveness of sin should not be strange things? Amen. That should not be the extraordinary. That should become the ordinary. That should become what we normally need to see. But what we have here is a man who is paralyzed, who is palsied, who cannot in any way get to Jesus himself. Do you know anybody like that? Who are palsied, who are paralyzed, who through paralysis cannot get themselves to Jesus. Try as they may. Hallelujah. But the scripture said that this man who was palsied or paralyzed must have had four good friends. Yep. Hallelujah. Look around you today. If you got four good friends, you're in good hands. You're in a good place, and you just might see strange things today, because somebody of those four men must have had a little bit of faith that said, if we can just get him to Jesus, we don't have to heal him, we don't have to fix him, we don't even have to have the answers for him, but if we can just get him to Jesus, maybe today is his day, maybe he can be made completely whole today. Hallelujah. Now maybe one of them got the answer and talked the other three into it. I don't really know how it happened, but four people carried him to Jesus. Only when they get to Jesus, there's some blockades. There's some limitations. There's some boundaries for getting him in there, and they can't seem to get close to Jesus. So now they got to go to plan B. How many are glad for people who don't give up on you? I'm thankful for the people in my life who never gave up on me, who maybe didn't, even if they got discouraged in me, they still had faith in what God could do in my life. They would continually speak into my life and say, you can do this, you can make this, you can walk this, you can be anything you want to be. God's got things in store for you. God can heal you. God can bring you to where you need to be. Thank God for somebody who carried me today. I did not get to where I am without somebody grabbing hold of my stretcher from time to time and saying, we're going to get you there to Jesus, because Jesus has got something special in store for you today. Hallelujah. Thank God for people who don't give up when they hit a roadblock, who hit a boundary, who hit an obstacle. How many know some days you just got to raise the roof a little bit? Sometimes you got to tear off a few shingles. Sometimes you got to tear back some boundaries. You got to take some wood off the roof and say, look, there's more than one way to get there. Yep. Hallelujah. There's more than one way to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. If you came to Jesus at an altar in a church, raise your hand. If that's where you found Jesus, was at the altar in a church. If you found Jesus not at an altar in a church someplace else and gave your heart to the Lord, raise your hand. Aren't you glad there's more than one way to get to Jesus? Yeah. It may be in a fishing boat. It may have been beside grandma's rocking chair. It might be in your bed. It might have been in a hospital room. It might have been somewhere else. But along the line, you found some other way to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. There was some faith somewhere that said, if they can just have an encounter with Jesus, if they can just get into his presence. I'm telling you, folks, there is no substitute for the presence of God. There is no substitutes for being among him and among his people and in the anointing of worship and presence and feeling God. Because I'm convinced when you're in his presence, something strange happens. Yep. Hallelujah. We can go out of here every Sunday saying we've seen some strange things today. Hallelujah. I'm ready to see some strange things. I'm ready to see some people get off of some stretchers and begin to walk. And I want to see natural physical legs get up and walk. But I want to see people whose mind have been paralyzed. I want to see people whose hearts have been paralyzed. I want to see people whose bodies have been palsied and paralyzed through fear or addictions or sicknesses or whatever it is. Come in one way and go out another way and say, truly, we have seen some strange things today. Truly, we have been in the presence of God. And if I gotta carry him to the roof, I'm gonna carry him. If I gotta batten down the door, I'm gonna get him there. But whatever it is I got to do to get into the presence of Jesus, because in the presence of Jesus, strange things happen. Hallelujah. And so they get him in there, drop him down, get him right in the lap of Jesus. Jesus looks at him and says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The room says, "What in the world is he speaking blasphemy? Who has the power to forgive sins except God?" And let me say to you this morning, be careful that we don't have the same mindset. Because we think it's easier to be healed than it is for someone's sins to be absolutely wiped out and be made whole. Can you say amen? See, I can pray for the drug addict. I can pray for the drunk. I can pray for the person on the street and pray God will touch you. But I really believe God will absolutely resolve every sin, past, present, and future in their body and make them completely whole. What we do sometimes is we stand back and think we have the option of who we give grace to or who we give mercy to. And we have no right to say to them, you can be healed, but you can't be saved. What we understand is if God ever saves them mind, soul, body, and spirit, it will so hit them from the inside out that they'll begin to walk out of what's happening inside. And all of a sudden, mind, soul, body, and spirit come into agreement with what the blood did on the cross. Hallelujah. How many know this man was paralyzed or palsies? There was lack of life in the rest of his body. There was no feeling. There was no life. There was nothing happening in his body. Hallelujah. But when God began to release forgiveness in his life, all of a sudden healing came also. Hallelujah. I hear people say, you know, I've done this for God and I've served God and I just don't understand why this happens and all that kind of stuff. How many know it's not dependent on what you did or what you have given? It's important to do all those things. What we just have to do is stand back and say, God, I'm not worthy of my own strength, but you have made me worthy to receive everything that you promised on the cross. Your word says it's mine. If your word says it's mine, then I want it. Amen. If the word declares I can have healing, I want it. If it says I can have riches or finances, I want it. Hallelujah. I want everything that God says that I can have. But instead of rejoicing, hallelujah, instead of rejoicing at the promises of God sometimes and the healing, what we do is say to people that we see sick and palsied, and we say to them, well, if you'd have lived right, you wouldn't be in this state. Hallelujah. We say, if you would have lived right, you wouldn't be in this state. Am I the only one in the house this morning? It's probably God dealing in their life. If they would have lived right, and you know, if they wouldn't have left church when they did, if they wouldn't have got into that, say amen, Georgia. One of these days, she just might take that microphone. Hallelujah. But how many know sometimes, even in our own self, our first response is, God, you know, is it something I've done? Is it something I've done to put myself in this shape? Hallelujah. I mean, no, it's not what we've done. It's all about what he's done. Now, I believe there are sometimes we make some foolish decisions, foolish choices, and we end up in a situation that we have brought on ourselves. But how many know God is even bigger than my own foolishness? God's big. I'm telling you, God has brought goodness out of my own foolishness. Hallelujah. What I'm telling you is not all lost. If you think you've made some bad choices, it's not all lost. God's bigger even than your bad choices. God's big enough to be able to help you make good choices from here on out. Hallelujah. I mean, he said to them, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said, so that you know that I have power to forgive sins and to make him whole. Hallelujah. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. Rise, take up your bed and walk. God has the power to heal your body and to forgive your sins, past, present, and future. Was paid for. Paid in full. Hallelujah. At the cross of Calvary. How many know to them it was some strange things? But to us, I believe that we need to begin to see the strange demonstration of the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can look at this a couple ways. If I'm the man on the stretcher, thank God for restoration. And if I'm the man carrying them, the scripture says when he saw their faith, when he saw their faith, see that person that you're thinking is hopeless, their feet's been knocked out from under them, looks like they're not going to make it. How many know that the scripture says when he saw their faith, your faith has the power to lift them up and carry them to places that they think they can't get to until God can restore the strength and bring power back into their legs for them to have the ability to walk. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for somebody who had some faith. Anybody ever had somebody with faith in your life before? Thank God for grandmas. Thank God for grandpas. Thank God for people that prayed for us when we didn't even know we needed prayer. Hallelujah. My husband was born with a hole in his heart, but he had a praying grandmother. Hallelujah. And she prayed for him. He says today, I know my heart was healed because they told him he's got the heart as strong as an ox or whatever nowadays. But he said, I know I'm healed today because I had a grandmother who believed. I had somebody who was a woman of faith in my life. I had somebody that said, that's what the doctor says, but I'm going to believe God for a miracle. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe God to do the miraculous. I'm going to believe God to do the great things. How many of you are glad for somebody who had some faith to carry you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody who didn't look at you as blemished or disqualified, but maybe had sat in that temple when Jesus preached his first sermon and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. I've come to set at liberty them who are bound and afflicted. I've come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I come to preach out of the book of Isaiah, not out of the book of Leviticus. I got some good scriptures for you. I got a new revelation. I have come. Hallelujah. John the Baptist is about to lose his head. He sends his disciples. He said, go see if he is the one. And I always thought, John, you baptized him. You said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But John's hearing some stuff from prison. Some stuff is happening. At this moment, let me tell you, when John baptizes Jesus, he hasn't done anything that we know of. Scripture doesn't tell us he saved anybody, hadn't healed anybody, just been a good little Jewish boy all of his life. We don't know anything about him. John says, I must decrease and he must increase. I come to prepare the way. I know my path is limited to how far. John was still an old covenant prophet. Jesus was the first of the new covenant prophets. He sends a word. He said, go tell the disciples. He's in prison. He's about to lose his head for preaching the gospel. He says, go see if he's the one. Jesus doesn't go back to him and say, don't worry about John, everything's going to be all right. Or, you know, he says, tell him, blind eyes are open, deaf ears are unstopped. Tell him the lame are walking. Tell him that I have come to fulfill everything that the old covenant said was limited. Tell him that I come to preach acceptable year of the Lord. Tell him it's happening. Tell him it's come to pass. Because I believe John's saying, if he is the one, then I know I will decrease. He will increase. I have fulfilled everything God has called me to do. And I may lose my head, but I have done everything that God has required of me. And the rest of it is in good hands because the Messiah is on the scene. Hallelujah. The Messiah is on the scene. God has fulfilled his promise. God has made real everything that he said he would do. Jesus comes fulfilling those things, systematically goes back to the broken-footed, the lame, the halt, those out of the book of Leviticus that said that we didn't have any access to a mercy seat. Four people said, I think I know where the mercy seat is today. It's inside of a house with a whole crowd of people around it. And if we could just lift this man down through the roof and he could experience Jesus, the mercy seat. I know he can be made whole. And I think we just might see some strange things today. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that we have seen strange things today? Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody in your life, somebody you're thinking of has been one of those people of faith that have carried you. It may not be a bad idea to go back to them at some point and say, thank you for sowing into my life. Thank you for being a man or woman of faith. Thank you for helping me to get to Jesus. Because he not only has made me whole, but he's forgiven my sins. Hallelujah. Which is greater, he said, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise, take up your bed, and walk. I mean, sometimes unforgiveness keeps us paralyzed. Unforgiveness keeps us paralyzed. Most of the time, our own unforgiveness of ourself keeps us paralyzed. Unforgiveness to other people will keep you paralyzed, will keep you trapped in that system. Forgiveness is not just so much for the other person as it is for you to bring release to your body. When we have unforgiveness in our life, it keeps us paralyzed. One of the best freedoms that can come is when you release somebody, when you forgive somebody and say, you know what? It's forgiven. Hallelujah. We don't have to live in a paralyzed state of unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Because we can be forgiven and made whole through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We've seen some strange things today. Hallelujah. That's what those in the presence of Jesus begin to exclaim. We've seen some strange things today. I'm telling you, in the presence of Jesus, there's just no telling what you might see. No telling what you might encounter. No telling what might could happen in his presence. Amen? Hallelujah. Maybe you've been carried. Maybe you need to be carried. Maybe you have somebody on your heart or your mind today that you can carry. Hallelujah. Your faith in his ability to make them whole. Just get them there. Hallelujah. Just get them there. Just get them into the presence of Jesus. Some days you just got to raise the roof a little. Some days you just got to raise the roof a little. Hallelujah. Cause a stir. Go another way. And don't settle for, don't take no for an answer. Don't settle for roadblocks or obstacles to keep you from getting them to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. Stand to your feet with me.